Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. We are here to break down the Bengals' most recent draft picks. They picked 10 players and they feel really good about the talent they acquired. And next week begins rookie minicamp, and we will be there to bring you the latest from those rookies. But today we have a very special guest, UConn men's basketball head coach who has now just won two back-to-back national championships. Dan Hurley is joining me on this episode as he is a huge Bengals fan, has long been a Bengals fan, and is a fanatic for this team. And he was kind enough to join me on this week's episode to break down the draft picks. So here's my conversation with UConn men's basketball head coach Dan Hurley. I'm super excited to bring on our next guest, a guest that I have wanted to come on the Bengals Beat podcast for a long time, and I wanted to have him on before the draft, but he was a little busy doing things like going to the New York Stock Exchange, because that's what you do when you're a two-time national champion head coach of the UConn basketball team, Coach Dan Hurley. Thank you so much for joining me.
Kelsey, great to be on, and I wish I had that view. I got Gamble right behind me, you know, which is pretty nice. If I had like half Gamble, half Paycor, it'd be perfect.
We'll see what we can do if we can get you like a picture and put it on a plaque or something to go next to those trophies that are behind you that I'm staring at. Those are pretty cool.
I keep those close. we made it, they're hard to get. We made it look a lot easier than it actually is. So, you know, to the victors, right?
Yeah, you guys really did make it look easy. With Cincinnati not being in the tournament, I decided I was going to become a full-on UConn fan, and I picked you guys to go all the way, and you didn't let me down. So I wanted to first say thank you, but more importantly, you deserve congratulations.
Yeah, hopefully you made a little bit of money or just the bragging rights, right?
But
you,
yes.
Wise choice. wise choice. I think we were clearly the best team.
You guys were a blast to watch, and I'm bummed that now getting to know you that Cincinnati and UConn don't play each other, because it would be fun to watch UConn and Cincinnati compete, but maybe down the road, maybe we'll see, right?
I wish, you know, and that short amount of time that we were in the AAC with Cincinnati, their fans did not see this version of UConn basketball. They saw a much different version. So who knows, maybe we'll end up, you know, playing a non-conference game, or maybe we can convert those Cincinnati fans to UConn fans when we play Xavier yearly.
Oh, you got me for that. So 100%. I think we can do that. So I wanted to start. I know you've explained it a couple of different times, but for our listeners that don't know why you, an East Coast native, are a Bengals fan, could you give us the short summary?
Yeah, so I'll talk fast, Jersey style, because there's a lot of layers to it. My brother and my dad were Cowboy fans, so I had to find an alternative because I was always rebellious. I was on the look for a team. And then, you know, maybe 8 or 9 years old, I'm just on a Sunday just watching the NFL game, and that freezer ball game comes on, Bengals-Chargers. And you know, the description of the weather and, you know, the fact that the offensive linemen come running out with like just the pads and the jersey and Munoz and the boys without the Parkers and the hats. That blew my mind. Jersey is a place for really tough people. So, you know, that showed me, I think, as a young kid, like, wow, these guys are tough. I like animals, especially, you know, apex predators. So, the tiger stripes kind of drew me in young. And then you fast forward a little bit later, I'm a lefty, and then Boomer Esiason comes in, you know, from Maryland, becomes the quarterback. So this like left-handed quarterback really just cemented it for me. Then Icky Woods and obviously all those great players from Chris Collinsworth, you know, all the way through to today.
So you've been a diehard fan since then, but would you say this is the most exciting time that you could say being a Bengals fan that you've ever experienced?
Yeah, when I think those teams with Boomer and Icky Woods, and James Brooks was probably one of my favorite players that I used to like watching. But those like the late 80s team that lost to the Niners, that was a pretty cool time, because that was a great team. But then from Carson Palmer, getting drafted, there was that extended period of time where it was really, really bad. that Carson Palmer to Andy Dalton, AJ Green to now what we've got with Joe and Jamar Chase, and what Zach Taylor's done to build on what Marvin did there. It's been great to be a Bengal fan.
So let's talk draft, because the Bengals just finished picking 10 different picks. I was at Paycor all weekend long. I'm still getting over being tired from it. But they made a lot of not surprises, but they picked a lot of players that could potentially make an impact. So I wanted to get your thoughts on some of the picks. What did you think of the selection of Amarius Mims in the first round?
Yeah, I loved it. I think they're betting in a similar way to what we do, as coaches with the program here is, you see the traits that you really love, like the athleticism, the positional size, whatever that is, arm length, whatever athletic screening they do. He obviously, passed all those thresholds, like a physical specimen at his position. So they're betting on their player development and their ability to coach him up and to teach him. And they're also looking at him as a person. I think, we do a very similar thing here now. I think we used to just evaluate talent. But then I think as we've gotten smarter the last couple of years and become championship caliber, they look at I think an individual and say, does he fit our culture? Will he accept the coaching? Does he love football? Does he have the work ethic? Is he competitive? Because he's obviously lacking experience, but has tremendous talent. I mean, he's only played 8 games, but if they hit on that pick, it's the potential to be the left tackle there for 12 to 15 years at like a Pro Bowl level. So at 18, you're not going to get probably a surefire starting caliber tackle. There's going to be some risk.
Well, it just came out apparently last night that the Chiefs were actually considering trading up for Mims. So given the Chiefs track record, you got to think that he is pretty good if the Chiefs wanted him too. So the Bengals were able to keep that guy from going to their main rival.
That is our rival, and much respect to the Chiefs. But we have demonstrated an ability to beat them in the big moments. Obviously, we've also lost, but we're the one organization that's been able to play them in those big showdown games. And I like our chances versus those guys when we're fully healthy.
So the next two picks are the ones that I wanted to ask you about, because I think it could also relate a lot to basketball. The second round pick, they took Chris Jenkins. They needed badly a defensive tackle to replace DJ Reader. And he's apparently and we got a chance to meet him. He's a great character guy who played at Michigan National Championship. His dad was a stud in the NFL. So it checks all those boxes. So what'd you think of that pick? And then the third round pick's the one I got a question for you about.
Yeah, just probably over the last maybe 16 months, Zach Taylor sent me a box of Bengal stuff last year out to Houston. Like some autographed football and some different thing and a cool note. And, we've been texting. I'm hoping to get a chance to come out, maybe see him in training camp or something, and spend a little time around him and his staff and try to learn a little bit. But you could see he fits the culture and what Zach likes, captain in a big time college football organization, championship level organization, ton of experience. But the personality and the individual blows you away. That charisma, you know, he's not a zombie. This guy's like fully alive. And when he enters the room, the thermometer goes up. And those are the type of people you want to have in your locker room, especially because it's so monotonous, the preparation, the practice and such. So you need personalities like that. And then from a statistical standpoint, you know, I liken it a little bit to our team this year. You know, we're going to have probably a top five pick or a top eight pick that averaged 10 or 11 points a game. Because our team was so strong and we had so much depth and so much talent, no one's numbers really stood out. So I think maybe with Chris Jenkins, he doesn't have gaudy, you know, sack numbers and gaudy tackle for loss numbers because he was in a rotation with a great defensive line. But I think he filled a great need and he fits the mold for what Zach likes.
Yeah, he's the one that I think next year could come in and make the biggest impact. But the third round pick is the one that I really wanted to get your input on, and that is wide receiver Jermaine Burton out of Alabama. Do you know Nick Saban?
I don't know him at all.
Okay, I didn't know if you guys have met in the coaching circles. So from what I've heard and read about him is he has first round talent. Like had he not had some of the off the field stuff, he would have been a first round pick. When you think about that, where the talent is just off the charts and you have those questions about, you know, he went to, I believe, like six different schools in 8 years and, you know, transferred from Georgia and then got to Alabama and then had that incident where he shoved the fan coming off the field at Tennessee. What do you think is the most important thing that Zach had to figure out when Jermaine came to Cincinnati for his top 30 visit that told Zach, hey, if I get this guy here, I can maybe change some things?
Yeah, just I think for what a coach thinks, I think in a situation like that that values, you know, culture so much the way the Bengals do or the way I know we do here, their locker room there, just like I would equate to what ours is here. It's like it's so strong and so filled with high character people and great leaders and former captains and stand-up men. That I think when you get to potentially a situation like that, you feel like you have a locker room that's strong enough to, you know, to help change some of the habits, the mindset, the behaviors. Obviously, if you're an organization that rolls the dice on a number of players, you know, with backgrounds that are a little alarming, and now you have a locker room you know, filled with that, I think that's when things could get, you know, just a little bit tricky. But I think the value that the Bengals put in with who they bring into the building and what they stand for and who their quarterback is and the respect that he commands and demands and how badly players want to play with him because he's going to bring so much value to their career that, you know, it felt like a really, really smart gamble because you're getting, you know, a potential number two receiver. If they can't sign, you know, re-sign T. Higgins, now you have a potential, you know, quality number two receiver that you could plug in if it hits.
So we won't have to go pick by pick because there's other things I wanted to get. But when you look at all of them, who's your favorite pick?
I like what they did with the tight ends.
Did two tight ends.
Yeah, I like that. We've had success when we've kind of doubled up, whether it's been at wide receiver in the past, you know, or even on the defensive line, I think. So I liked addressing the tight end position. You know, the kid all from Iowa.
Apparently like, he's a beast.
Yeah, a beast. And you just, you know, you hope that, you know, has the good fortune of being healthy and, you know, and then, you know, drafting the tight end in the sixth round too. Just doubling up a tight end, I think, was exciting because most of us diehards, we've been like dying for them to draft.
Yeah. Right.
Draft some tight ends.
Right. Yeah. I at first I was like, is it really just go with another tight end? But after talking to a bunch of coaches, apparently all, had he not tore his ACL, would have been a first or second round pick. Like he's really good. So if he can get healthy, I think that could end up being a home run and go back to those days where they had like a Tyler Eifert or, you know, like a really good pass catching tight end. Cause I agree with you, this whole kind of makeshift tight end thing over the last 2 years, it just, and then you look at like Travis Kelce and with the Bills with like Dalton Kincaid and the Lions with Sam Laporta, it's been like, that's the one thing that the Bengals have been missing. You brought up T. Higgins and I wanted to get your thoughts. I recently wrote a story about, you know, where they're at and they never really got close on an extension. Do you, knowing that they have to pay Ja'Marr Chase at some point in the next 2 years, where are you in the camp of, do you want T. Higgins? Are you okay with their strategy of not being able to pay him because that means they can definitely keep Ja'Marr? Where are you at with the T. Higgins saga?
Yeah, I mean, I would love if they could make it work with T. Higgins. It's just, what you love to do, I think, in these positions is to have people that could complement each other. So like you have in Ja'Marr Chase, obviously, you know, this like deep, you know, super fast, super strong. You could play him in the slot. You could play him all over, either wide receiver position. But then you also have like that big physical, tall, you know, receiver where they just, you know, they don't repeat each other. They complement each other because they're different types of targets. Obviously, the business of football and salary cap, you know, makes it tough to pay max money at that position to multiple players. But it's just such a special connection that they have when those two guys are healthy with Joe, and if Joe has time to throw, it's a special connection that they've had. That's, you know, been this close to getting us our first Super Bowl. So, you know, as a fan, you'd love to see it, but you understand.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Like you think that you can just replace T. Higgins if it doesn't work out, but there's not many 6'5" guys with the wingspan like him. And the most impressive thing about T. Higgins is he is the furthest thing from a diva. Like he's such a good kid. Like, and it's rare to get that. And your two star receivers are just like awesome guys. So yeah. I think that's good for Burton because you can't learn how to be a pro better than what those two guys that you're going to be spending every day will show you what to do.
And he was a big time basketball player. I saw some of the highlights before the draft and Joe Burrow too. Joe was a bucket.
Were you, would you think T. Higgins could have been a UConn Husky for you?
I mean, the wings here, they've been pretty high level. I mean, he would have had to obviously give up football to get into the rotation, but I think I saw a crazy tip dunk and, you know, he definitely was a Division I player. Could he play for, was he good enough to crack the rotation for the two-time champs? I don't know.
So what type of fan would you say you are in terms of like when you're watching? Are you a nobody talk to me, I need to watch? Or are you more of like a casual, let me sit on the couch and, you know, I can watch, but I'm looking at my phone? Like tell Bengals fan what type of fan you are when you're watching the Bengals.
Well, I would say when I was younger, I used to get very angry, like kind of like my sons get now when we watch the game, when, you know, armchair coaches, just like people do with me, the second guessing and the screaming about, you know, just the different things, the different situations that come up in a game. But I would, my wife, you know, back maybe in my late 20s and in my early 30s or so, she would, the environment would be so intense when they played that she would like find things to do. Like she'd go food shopping or she would go outside and do some gardening, or she would just do anything she could to avoid being in the house because I'd be throwing crap at the TV. I would just be losing my mind. And this was kind of like right in that maybe Carson Palmer just got to town. We're kind of on our way back up, like a brutal loss to the Colts late in the year, the injury to Carson Palmer versus the Steelers, that one set me back. But I've become a lot more, as I've now hit 51, I've mellowed, but I it's my time. Like these, everyone in my program knows to leave me alone during that game block up until obviously we start in November, because I can't miss my games to watch the Bengals. But like, leave me alone from 1 to 4, leave me alone from 4 to 7, leave me alone from 8 to 11 on a Monday night or what have you. Like, that's my time. Like, I don't care if everyone's going to transfer out. I don't care if I just leave me alone. I want to watch my game. It's the only thing. It's the only thing I really have besides like UConn basketball, my family, and some, maybe some other things I might like a little bit, but that's like the only thing I ask for. It's just, let me have my Bengal game.
So do you have Red Zone?
I do. I've been original. I was an original with DirecTV. Matter of fact, I've had, the only reason why we've had DirecTV was for the Sunday ticket, just to get right. the Bengal games. Even when I was broke, I was a high school coach, broke. Like, and we were, we had no money whatsoever. We were still, we weren't eating just so we could get the Sunday ticket so I could watch my game.
That's amazing. So you guys still have it now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now they play on primetime some more. So they get you some games on Sunday Night Football and ESPN.
And then we take, every year or every other year, we'll make a pilgrimage. You know, we'll head out there for a game. We didn't get out there last year, but we were out there the year before for the whiteout versus Miami.
Oh, that's cool.
When Tua got hurt. So that was obviously, yeah. it wasn't the best night that way, but it just, you know, I influenced my kids to become Bengal fans. And even my wife knows a couple of the players now. She doesn't really understand sports. I've got now a family full of Bengal fans in Connecticut.
So is that something that's like really special for you and your son? So just obviously I know that, you know, you have basketball and your father first, but to have something that's not your job, that you guys can just be normal and enjoy watching football on a Sunday. And it makes probably you feel like more normal than now, you know, you're the best coach in the NCAA. I'm sure you can't go anywhere in Source, Connecticut without someone trying to get a picture with you. Like, do you guys really enjoy those moments together?
Yeah, it is. And you know, as your kids grow up, they have different interests than you, and you know, their lives may take a different direction that way. They move away from home, like my youngest son, who's back living in Jersey. He's in the political game, which he found, you know, the one line of work that's even tougher than sports, being a coach, which is politics. You know, my oldest son, Danny. So, you know, you develop different interests. Your kids get older. But yeah, to have something like a favorite team together that brings you together to watch the games together, to elicit phone calls when things are happening in free agency or the draft or making a trip together to Cincinnati. It's just it's an awesome thing that dads get to share with their kids.
So two things that I wanted to ask you before I let you go. Let's talk a little bit about football and you being such a fan and how you've implemented some of the things that you watch. You recently were talking about it on JJ Redick's podcast about how, you know, when you watch teams like the 49ers, the Dolphins, like some of their motion pre-snap, like you kind of stole some of those ideas and implemented them into your offense. Is there anything that the Bengals do that really caught your attention, or a play you remember that you were like, I wonder how I could potentially put that into my scheme with my team?
Yeah, I would say all of that. I think, across the board, like the influence of watching just the tempo and the pace of how quickly these college football and NFL teams get into their action, how quickly, you know, they get out of the huddle and they get on top of the defense. So like the pace and tempo, whether that's watching the Bengals when they go fast, and they go no huddle, or college football, that I think, you know, you see it much more frequently. But then I think more so just watching the Bengals or watching the 49ers or watching the better offenses in college football. You know, it's like a lot of bad offenses in basketball. Let's say the formation is like point guard. Tell me if I lose you. Okay. So it's like, say you're starting in a box formation where it's like the point guard has the ball or the initiator has the ball out high and you're in a box, or maybe you're in a diamond, or maybe you're in a low 1-4, or maybe you're in a horns formation. So there's all these different formations, or maybe it's 4-1, or maybe it's 5-out with the center at the key. A lot of the colleges that you play against, out of that one formation, they only run one action. So it's like just one play that they run. So anytime you see them and you play teams offensively in college, from a defensive standpoint, we know where they're trying to go with the ball.
Right.
We know whether they're trying to get a post up, whether they're trying to a middle ball.
Tendencies. Screen.
Yeah, yeah. You know exactly, yeah, in large part, what they're trying to get because it's the only thing that they do out of that formation. So the influence of football for us was, like, out of each formation that we run, so you're in shotgun, you know, trips with, you know, two in the backfield, to be able to run it, to be able to play action it, to be able to throw a screen, to be able to, out of that alignment, have six different things that you can do, and it's disguised by the same alignment, and the defense has no idea what you're going to do, and it's all based on little subtle little signals that you make to your team. It becomes a very complex language, and it's taken a lot more time away from the defensive end, which was something that I didn't want to do because I was always like effort, defense, intensity, play harder. Let's win 59-55. And that's a brutal way to coach. So, you know, we went more like offensive mentality, try to be a type of team that could go on runs and outscore people. Cause I think that's how you're able to win a six game tournament. That single elimination is you're much better off having a better offense than you are defense.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so interesting to hear you talk about just the crossover with that. I could listen to that all day, but I did want to get to some of the questions that some of the fans sent in to me, and I will be quick. So I know you have to go, but
Xavier fans must have had a couple in there for me.
Well, I will tell you, I did get a couple of why didn't he come coach at UK, and I wasn't going to bring that up, but
it's not far, right? It's close.
No, it's an hour and a half. Yeah. So, but there were only a couple of those. Okay. So favorite player of each decade that you've been a Cincinnati Bengals fan.
So, I mean, some of them may overlap a little bit. I mean, Chris Collinsworth, you know, Chris Collinsworth for me, I mentioned, you know, James Brooks was a player that I loved. Obviously Boomer, who didn't love Icky Woods. You know, Icky Woods, definitely a favorite, in that really tough stretch that we had, maybe like Carl Pickens, Corey Dillon, obviously Ocho Cinco. I mean, Carson Palmer, TJ Houshmandzadeh. I mean, they brought us all the way back. You know, AJ Green. I know I'm picking chalk on some of these here, but AJ Green, was a favorite too. Try to think anybody. I like Jeff Blake. I mean, Jeff Blake had it going for a little bit. Two as a quarterback, he threw those beautiful deep balls. I think the Darnay Scott for a little while too. So, and then the current rendition. I mean, you just love all these players on these teams here. Trey Hendrickson and Hubbard. I mean, who doesn't love to have like a Sam Hubbard on their team? Versatile defensive lineman that can play the run, can play the pass. He's clutch. Logan Wilson, love that guy too. He's a dog. I always feel like I'd be a better football coach anyway than a basketball coach because I feel like I was I just grew up in Jersey City. There was no real good football there.
Well, it's interesting you say that about Sam Hubbard. He was like really, really hurt last year. And a lot of people didn't know like the ankle injury that he played through. And he said that basically the other day, which I thought was really cool, that when Joe went down, he felt a responsibility to play through his injury because he didn't think that the team, you know, could survive and get where they wanted to without those two guys not playing. And so, you know, he took it on the chin and, you know, he's like, I want to burn that film from last year. And he's just like, he's so self-aware of himself. And he's just one of those guys. I feel like you as a coach, you probably love to coach. Like they can't speak high enough about him from the coaching staff.
Winner. You could just see it, the winner, clutch plays and versatility. And then you just know in the locker room, he's just, men like that, they raise everyone's level. They raise the level of the organization.
What have you been to Jeff Ruby's? And if so, what is your favorite meal at Jeff Ruby's?
No, we were not there. We got in, it was like a last second trip 2 years ago. Okay. And I can't even remember where we ate, but I know that when we took a trip, there was a Mike Fink's. There was like a seafood place. There was a seafood restaurant that was right on the water. It was in like the one of those old boats. Like it looked
Montgomery
like
Inn.
What's that?
Montgomery Inn.
No, that's a rib place. We've eaten there too. That place is pretty good. Okay. But there was like, I think it was Mike Fink's seafood place. It was like right on the river right there, and we went and ate there, and it was when I had just gotten a high school coach, and I remember like my wife over ordering crab legs, and she didn't understand that we were going to be charged by the pound, and she ordered like six of them, and I'm doing the math in my head like there's no way we're going to be able to afford this bill. I'm going to end up running out on it. But I want to go there. But we might have gotten takeout from there with the team this past year. Like when we go on the road, we either go to a restaurant or we get takeout, depending mm-hmm. on whatever we did the last time. So if we went on the road and won, and we went out to dinner, we'll do that again. If we went out and then if we lost, we'll get takeout the next time. And obviously, you just do what you did, whatever that winning outcome was.
You'll have to try the steak burro because there's certain things on Jeff's menu that are tied to the Bengals. And actually, when they went to the AFC Championship, he changed out the entire menu to resemble Bengals players. So it's actually really cool. But that was actually a very popular question. People wanted to know what your order at Jeff Ruby's was. There's two more. What has been your favorite game of Joe Burrow since he became starting quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals?
I mean, I would go, that Tennessee playoff game.
We got sacked 9 times.
Yeah. I mean, just the will, the toughness. I mean, that one right there, was incredible. And then, I like my sports. I like my sports by the people that win, not people that put up the gaudy stats, right? I think fans love the winners and the ones that get you to Super Bowl. So obviously the playoff win on the road at Kansas City, I mean, just not many quarterbacks have been able to beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. So to go and win that game to get us back to the Super Bowl, that was pretty dope.
The last question I had is, if you could pick, I know you're very busy, so it's probably not easy for you to get to games, but is there a certain venue in the NFL that you would really like to go watch the Bengals play at as the road team?
I would always pick, I would always pick going to Cincinnati because there's something about the city and being from Jersey and never really being around Bengal fans. So you never run into one your whole life, basically. But so you always enjoy being, going into that environment, you kind of love I think the city's pretty cool and all the bridges and walking across the bridge to the stadium from the other side in Kentucky there. So that's, I would always pick that, but, I would love to go to Pittsburgh and have them you know, beat the Steelers there. I mean, that would be a dream come true. Maybe beat them in the AFC Championship in Pittsburgh. That would probably be a dream scenario, because that's probably the team that you end up disliking the most if you're
yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, I know you have a ton to get to, so thank you so much. It's just so much fun talking to you. And hopefully if you ever come to Cincinnati this year or next year, we'll have to get you in studio so we can get you to see the view from here.
Yes, I got to get in there, because that is, I mean, I got Gamble, like I said, but like a half of that, half of Gamble would be ideal. But we're definitely going to be coming through for a game, hopefully September, October. So who day?
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much to Coach Hurley. Wishing him all of the best, and hoping that if he does come to Cincinnati, we could maybe get him in studio here and get him on the podcast, because I could listen to him talk about the similarities between basketball and football all day long, and just some of the stories of being a gigantic Bengals fan. So we will see if that ever is able to happen. But thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode. We'll talk to you next week.